Hi, Howie Hawkins. Welcome to CABU again.
Thanks. It's good to be here again.
Howie Hawkins is an organizer, a writer, a now-retired Teamster, a co-founder of the Clamshell Alliance in 1976. It closed down several nuclear energy plants. Also co-founded the Green Party in the United States in 1984. His articles have appeared in multiple publications. In his 2010 campaign for governor of New York, he called for a Green New Deal, surely one of the first folks to popularize the idea, and indeed created the political milieu that nourished Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders. This year, the New York State Legislature passed the Build Public Renewables Act. It required the New York State Public Energy Authority, by far the largest public utility in the country, serving maybe 2 million homes, cities, and businesses. The act was seen on the left as a great step forward. Multiple articles in left journals. Indeed, has great potential, but the devil is in the details. We'll be discussing today what would be necessary to force the authority to implement its radical potentials to build out hundreds of public town and city and county utilities that would build out renewable energy. First, though, Howie Hawkins, tell us why local utilities in cities and counties in some regions, these local public utilities building out and operating sun and wind renewable energy installations, some large and some quite big, but these near the point of use, that is in their service area. These public utilities then network regionally, they universalized across the industrialized region. They would be building blocks, and probably right now, for sure for me, the most promising solution to what is now global roasting. So, Howie, what do you make of my hypothesis? I think you support it with some reservations. Why are these towns, cities, sometimes regions, these public utilities, why are they the most promising solution to our very, very grave global roasting experience?
Well, local public power systems are accountable to the people much more than certainly private investor-owned utilities and even statewide energy authorities, because they're at a scale where we can get organized and make a difference. There are over 2,000 public power systems, mostly at the municipal level around the country. We have 50 of them in New York, and where there has been strong movement is where people take back their local public power utility, which may be an elected board, it may be an appointed board, it may just be a department within the city government, but they take the initiative to build renewables and support efficiency and even finance retrofitting for efficiency or heat pumps, for example, to get off natural gas. So we've seen a lot of examples of that. Germany, which has gone much further than we have in the transition to renewable energy, that transition was led by their municipal systems. So definitely, I think that's where we can start. Now, we just can't stop there, because there are certain things that require large-scale planning and financing and renewable energy assets like hydropower. That only can be in certain locations, and it can't just be for the locality. In fact, we already have that in New York, because New York Power Authority, or NYPA as we call it, owns dams on the Niagara River, and that's distributed around the state. You can't just do that through a local public power system. Offshore wind is a big issue here in New York. You need transmission lines. You need utility scale storage, in some cases, for utility scale renewable energy production. And then, of course, financing. Localities don't have the same revenue raising capacity that the state does, and particularly the federal government, because the federal government doesn't have to balance its budget. It can invest now and then get paid back for those investments in renewable energy production by people paying their rates, and you get the investment back. So that's why we can't give up the larger scale, but we can definitely start it at the local scale.
Right. Our side seems to that seeks democratic local energy utilities. We argue that it's the least expensive way and the quickest to build out, quickest to repair. Doesn't need a few big high-volume grids that are as reliable as the most vulnerable pylon. That is, they're not reliable. Local energy is reliable. Of course, it needs storage. I think you agree with that contention that local energy has those advantages over this corporate energy, which the big utilities want, and the corporate sector wants to maintain corporate control of the whole economy through its energy system, so they support the investor-owned utilities. What do you make of that contention that we can do it much more cheaply, quickly, and reliably?
Well, you can, because solar and wind, the main renewable energy sources, are by their nature distributed, decentralized. So like the old utility model of centralized power plants, coal, nuclear, fossil gas, and so forth, and then distributing out from there, the private energy industry loves that because then they can build a plant and then make everybody dependent on it. When people can build their own renewables, it's harder to centralize control and squeezing profits out of it. So, you know, there are definitely advantages. It's just, you also have to realize that, for example, take New York City, which I'm in New York, and you have 8 million people there, very densely packed. And even if you put solar roofs on all the apartment buildings, you're not going to have enough energy. So you got to go offshore wind, which means, you know, large scale collective ownership by some kind of entity that's at least 8 million people. So that's roughly the equivalent of a centralized power plant, because these offshore turbines are going to be owned and located offshore where the wind blows best. So you're going to need a combination. You just can't transition the whole system through local small scale renewables, although you can do a hell of a lot, particularly in most small towns, most cities, you know, that are smaller, you know, 100,000 or less, and in rural areas.
Yeah, it seems to me that local utilities, when democratized and participative, they're much more able to build cultures of energy conservation and use reduction. And it seems to me that the more conservation and use reduction, the less of our economy has to be devoted to building more and more and more renewables. And then in the building, they will, at least now, would release greenhouse gas emissions. It seems to me very important to have communities that inspire conservation and use reduction. The corporate plan of just producing as much energy as the economy requires, it seems to me, would be sort of the death warrant for humanity.
Well, I agree. You can build that culture of efficiency and only uses that you really need at the local level, but you're still going to need to coordinate. But the way you should coordinate with, say, a state power authority, which we don't have in New York, is that you have municipal utilities where you can, you know, communities can build this culture, and then they federate at the state level so that the state board is a federation of the municipal utilities. And then that culture can be inculcated into the statewide coordination and from there to the federal level as well. So I agree, you got to build that base, and that's where we should start. But they're just inherent in, for example, you talk about resiliency. You know, if a tornado wipes out a town's energy system, you need to be connected to the larger grid to get power in there while you rebuild your local solar panels or wind turbines that got wiped out by the tornado or an ice storm, you know, or a big hailstorm that smashed the solar panels or whatever it is.
This is Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO Radio. That Old Mole's variety is, of course, in the struggles from below that we cover. Today I'm talking to Howie Hawkins, co-founder of the Green Party, an expert on renewable energy and its promise. We just discussed why local public utilities network across the regions and countries are the best solution to climate change, superior in every way to the corporate plan that they're trying to get funded for by the public. For the rest of this interview, we'll discuss the New York Public Energy Authority. It's been required in an act of the legislature titled Build Renewable Energy Act. It was recently enacted to build out renewable energy. We'll be discussing today what would be necessary to force the authority to implement its radical potentials and to build out hundreds of public town and city and county utilities, as well as the storage. It also was a way of dealing with intermittency. So, Howie, tell us about the New York Public Energy Authority and the Build Renewable Energy Act.
Well, New York Power Authority has been around since the New Deal, and it built hydropower, it built some nukes and some coal plants, and it provides electricity to the municipal power companies and some industries at a subsidized cost. So that was for the factory economy that still, despite the lower costs, mostly left New York. And then we've been pushing for public power. I mean, I ran for mayor of Syracuse, New York in 2005 when gas prices jumped and the municipal power company right next to Syracuse in the village of Salve, the cost for their power was about a quarter of ours. So it was very popular. We even got the city council to vote for a feasibility study. Unfortunately, the mayor decided to not do what council authorized, but tried to set up a contract with Siemens for a biofuels power plant that would only fund government buildings and school buildings. So we got the funding pulled, and then we lost momentum on that. But I ran for governor three times on this idea of a full public power system in New York State based on the municipal power companies federated at the state level. And, you know, we made progress on that 2010, 2014, 2018. And then in 2018, after that last campaign, it was picked up by a group called Renewable New York, which Working Families Party and a lot of nonprofits were involved in. And then the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, got involved and they got legislation drafted. And so we've been fighting for that for the last 3 years. It finally got passed this spring. Not as strong as we wanted it, but the Build Public Renewables Act lets local governments take the lead on siting, and then the state provides the financing and regulatory approval. And that's an improvement because we've had 2 decades of state and federal incentives for renewable energy, but we still only get 5% of our electricity in New York from wind and solar. So that has not been working. That's why we need coordinated planning and a public power authority to spearhead this so we can meet the goals the state has set of 20% renewable electricity production, or 70% by 2030 and 100% by 2035. And they're way behind on that goal. So what this does is make in the public power sector, what you're building, you're doing at cost instead of a cost plus profit, which the IOUs, the investor-owned utilities, expect. And we had deregulation, so you've got the utilities doing distribution and you've got private energy companies producing. So the problem with the bill is that originally it had the New York Power Authority having the right of first offer and refusal for any request for proposals. So if a locality says we want a solar farm or wind power and puts out an RFP, the state power authority doesn't have that first right of offer and refusal. So they'll be competing with the private sector. And then that's where the politics you talk about comes in. Because right now the leadership of NYPA, the New York Power Authority, they weren't really behind this bill. It's like for them, they're like bureaucrats. It's giving them more work and more responsibility, and they don't want it. So the movement has got to keep pushing so what we can get out of this bill gets implemented. And then the other thing is there was a companion bill, which was really more radical, called the New York Utility Democracy Act. And it would have required New York State, either through purchase or eminent domain, to acquire all assets of all energy and gas utilities across the state starting within 2 years, and would have created democratically elected local utility boards to oversee the distribution utilities, and then from those boards elect the statewide board, and would have set a timeline for scaling down all fossil gas infrastructure across the state, which is a big issue because the private-owned utilities want to convert the fossil gas pipelines to hydrogen when we can do it much cheaper to provide heat and cooling in buildings with heat pumps powered by electricity. So unfortunately, that bill didn't get very far, doesn't have enough support in the legislature as it's now constituted. But that's what we really need to go to a full public energy system.
My sense is that the bill mentions democratization. They claim that they're going to be very democratic. And in the bill, it's because they're going to consult with many, many organizations and experts. It's sort of instead of building out local energy that they could do that would be a democratically run in communities according to the larger, they can't go crazy and use the money of, I'm not sure what, for golf course lighting or whatever. There are standards at least for what the utilities can operate. But the New York Power Authority under the bill seems to define democracy in the same pattern of U.S. democracy. That is, occasionally you vote in elections, and that's democracy. Well, democracy can be defined that way. It certainly hasn't been since for a couple thousand years. When you're talking about democracy, you're talking about the possibilities of participating in local community. And I think that letting them just sort of consult with organizations and then argue that those organizations and mayors and other grandees, that those organizations represent the will of the people, that's a recipe for elite rule. And I think that has to be posed, and we have to build actual democracies.
Yeah, that's a democracy for the politicians, the consultants, and the nonprofit industrial complex. And that's what they always do with these bills. They call that democracy. It's not what the other bill, the New York Utility Democracy Act, that would have had public elections for the utility boards. So, you know, people wanted to be on those boards, they'd have to put forward a program and get the voters' support. And this is a problem with the overarching climate legislation in New York, the Climate Leadership and Community Power Act, I forget the exact title. And that bill has a planning process where they call for, like in the environmental justice section, groups that represent disadvantaged communities, rather than people from the disadvantaged communities themselves, which is what another bill that was competing with it that the Green Party put in, which also had more ambitious goals. We wanted 100% clean energy by 2030, and we wanted a public power system that was democratic. That was part of it. And the people in the so-called commissions and councils and whatnot would represent, they come from the communities. We have too many, you know, people with master's degrees or even PhDs claiming to represent communities they don't even live in. So that's a problem. And that's just, you know, a problem of the kind of patronage politics in New York State.
I'm talking to Howie Hawkins, a co-founder of the Green Party, has been very active in changing the politics of energy in New York, succeeded in passing the Build Renewable Power Act. It has many limitations. We talked about the movements that have to be built that force the power authority to move in democratic directions and, in fact, contribute to building out local utilities confederated across the state that would produce power much less expensively and more reliable than the corporate plan for dealing with climate change, which will doom us, actually, is my sense. Howie, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.